Go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, thou art almighty, all merciful, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we rejoice. Rejoice that you have raised us from our beds of slumber and given us a heart to be equal with thee by assembling here in the house of the Lord and to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we pray for this great country wherein we live, that the men that you have put in office, Father, may humble themselves and know that there's a God in heaven to whom they have to answer to. Give thanks for this open assembly we have, that in the name of Christ we may openly fellowship, congregate, come together, Father, as priests, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you, Father, in the name of your Son. Thank you, Father, for this morning and this honor and privilege of serving thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, we give praise and we give thanks. Amen. Good morning, church. Thank you, brethren, for having me once again stand before you in the pulpit. I promised this morning I prepared myself a little better than last time. For God is good and merciful. This morning, our subject, the title which I brought before the congregation, believe it or not, was more of a last-minute subject to me because I am continually on a daily basis dwelling in God's Word. And the things that run through a course of your mind in a week's worth of living on this earth, there are numerous things that surge forth as into what we need, as into thus saith the Lord. But I decided to pick the title, The Gospel of Christ. And I said, why did I pick that title? Because every morning I get up and I go to work. Before me lies a Chicago Tribune, a Sun Times, a New York Times, a Red Eye, a Daily Journal, or all sorts of newspapers that have all sorts of news. I would say new old news with no remedy to it or with no solution. And these things play on the hearts of men as they look into the current event of the day. And so I thought to myself, I said, the thing I need to know about, I need to turn to Christ. I need to understand and I need to have a solution for everyday problems. The scripture says there's nothing new under the heavens. What has been will be. And here we are standing in this finite temporal existence, the years of our lives he's given us. The scripture says in the Old Testament, 70 years and 10, if by reason of strength 80, and still is there strength, labor, and sorrow, then it's cut off and we fly away. Here he's given us, as James says, if we lack wisdom, ask God, who give liberally to all men and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. So this morning I picked the title, the topic, The Gospel of Christ. Christ said, preach the gospel to the whole creation, according to Mark 16 and 15. This is the Lord's own commission, command in Acts 1 and 7 to his church, to his apostles, to take this gospel to the world, this news to the world, to his church. But what is the gospel, we might say, which by it says his authority is to be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations before the end cometh, according to Matthew 24 and 14. Our English word for gospel is derived from the Anglo-Saxon gospel, G-O-D-S-P-E-L-L, Old High German gospel, G-O-T-S-P-E-L-L. The first syllable in each of these words identify itself with our word in the English language, God. Hence, the term as a whole means literally the God message, or God story, God message or God story. In time. This has come to be designated the good message, good news, glad tidings. Don't you think we need a little more of that in this day and age? Good news and glad tidings. We read in the scripture that Jesus followed his baptism and temptation, went about in all Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, according to Matthew 4 and 23. That is the good news. The kingdom of the Messiah reign was at hand, according to Matthew 3 and 2. In Matthew 4, 17, 9, 35, Luke 4, 43, 8, 1, and 10 and 9. We understand that the incarnate ministry of Jesus was under the law, the Jewish dispensation. During this time, these 3 years in the flesh, he was, so to speak, the uncrowned king. Indeed, his actual coronation was the ceremony of him becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to 1 Timothy 6 and 15, Revelation 17, 14, 19, and 16, awaited his conquest of death, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 12, and 28. Hence, the kingdom, the messianic reign, was ushered in with the Spirit advent on the first Pentecost after the resurrection, according to Acts 1, 1 and 8, 1 through 8, and 2, 1 through 4. On that day, it was proclaimed for the first time that God had made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ, according to Acts 2, 38, and Acts 4, 8 through 12. Throughout the New Testament, we find such phrases as the following, all having the same general import for bringing to you or coming forth. One, the gospel of Christ, according to Philippians 1:27, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, according to Mark 1:1. The gospel of God, according to Mark 1:14, Romans 15 and 16. The gospel of his Son, according to Romans 1 and 9. The gospel of the glory of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 41. The gospel of the grace of God, according to Acts 20 and 24. The gospel of our salvation, according to Ephesians 1 and 13. And in many, many passages, simply the gospel, according to Romans 1 and 16. 1 Corinthians 9 and 6, Galatians 1, 8, Ephesians 6, 19, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, 2 Timothy 1, 10, Revelations 14 and 6, and etc. In all such passages, the essential meaning is that of good news, glad tidings, etc. Redemption in Christ Jesus, according to Luke 2, 10 and 11, and Luke 24, 45 and 49. As is read until your hearing, this apostle Paul was called to take this good news to the Gentiles. Apostle Paul, you know, and the interesting thing, we don't know, we need good news, and Christ bought this good news, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, this good news went into all the world. First, it went to the Jews first. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was read into our hearing. That was the first good news. But after that, this was to go to the Gentiles. We find the first conversion, of course, of a Gentile being Cornelius' household in the Acts 10th chapter, the centurion. He and his household, Peter, preaching, thus converting the entire household. But the good news that's interesting about this good news of Christ is that I thought about Stephen. When Stephen took this good news to the Sanhedrin court, he was accused. And he was stoned for preaching Christ, according to Acts, the 8th chapter, I believe it's the 8th chapter. That is Acts, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, forgive me. But the interesting thing about him preaching is that while he's preaching and being condemned, while he was being condemned and stoned, there was a young man standing nearby, condemning also, in which the cloaks of those who were stoning were thrown at his feet. He was bearing witness to this good news. And this young man named Saul was also taught by a man by the name of Gamaliel, who was part of the Sanhedrin court, the Jewish council, which heard this good news also. And the Gamaliel, this wise man at the time in which the people listened to and really cling to every word he said, because he was a wise man of that time and highly understood in the community, what he said about this preaching of the gospel, according to Acts, that's the fifth chapter, starting at the 33rd verse, and I'll read it to you rather than try to paraphrase. It says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles, he says, outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. And he reads on, for some, from time ago, he says, Theodorus rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, journeyed with him. He was slain, and all, he says, who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. He says, after this man, he says, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also preached, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from this man, and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And so this same Saul, we read about in Acts, the 8th chapter, received messages more so from the governor or orders to go about and persecute this gospel going forth into all the world, this good news. But yet we read in Acts 9, this same Saul, on the road to Damascus, Christ revealed himself. He fell down upon his knees and said, Lord, here am I. This same Saul, God rose up and said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel, the good news. To take this news, he says, and I'm going to show him the things in which he will suffer for my sake. This is the same Paul we read when we turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter, the 16th verse, which reads, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, let me read that and be perfectly plain. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also to the Greek. This is the news we need to hear in this day and age. We need to hear the news that Christ is alive and well, and our Savior is a redeeming Savior who shed his blood for the sins of mankind. The problem with the world is that they are turning left and right for the wrong type of news. The news in which we crave every morning is something of condemnation, something that has no solutions, something that leaves us in worry, fear, anguish, and anxiety. We need to hear the news that will turn us from death unto life. We need things to stir us up and understand who we are as the children of God. As God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the good news. I heard brothers say in class, John 3:16, He said it once before. We all know that by heart. That's the very God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to destroy the world, but the world through him might be saved. We generally stop there. But he also says, whosoever have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son is condemned already. And so we have a fair God who so loved us to he gave heaven's best that we may not perish. As was read into your hearing, thank you, brother, from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first through the 11th verse, and this is a beautiful thing with Corinthians, because as this gospel went out, and Paul's mission was to go to the Gentiles and preach this gospel, it is Apostle Paul and established this Corinthian church who actually, in his testimony of life, as we read in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter was one in which he says, and brother, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom. This is not of God. He says, I determined to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he went on with his testimony and says, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in much trembling. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where does our faith stand this day and age when we open up our newspapers and read of all the evil and destruction? As I'm thinking of a song, a Colonel song says, evil and destruction, taxes and deductions, fees, and these fees and inspectors, bill collectors. Population out of hand, suicide, as we read every day in our papers. Too many bills, and we are scattered abroad, not with the gospel, but the condemnation of not knowing Christ. But as he wrote with his affections toward this church, this gospel came not by man, but by God. And this is the gospel that we deliver to you in spirit and in truth, in sincerity. In which he read in 1 Corinthians 15, starting with the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which we preach to you. And he says, to you, which also you received, in which you stand. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the words which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. I'm thankful when I look out and I see the church in which Christ purchased with his own blood, and those over the years who are standing fast in faith, those who are clinging to the word of God, who have not been moved off of this foundation that was laid by the apostles. For I delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and this is the gospel. That Christ died for your sins. Know that. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The good news. The glad tiding. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ lives. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And we are blessed by this. This same Apostle Paul, in going out into the Gentile churches, it interests me so much when I look at the book of When I look at the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, and the men in Berea, more so, he went, and this is the world situation. Unfortunately, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. There are all types of gods out there. Whoever you put your trust in, that's your God. But this living God, we know by the bringing of the good news, the gospel, that Christ is the, what, was God in the flesh. And that by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that he sits on high and is sitting there with open arms saying, come whosoever will. But he put his treasure in earthen vessels. And so Paul, as he went through the coast of Berea, he found more so some who were into the ideologies and ideologies of this life, the philosophers, the Rosicrucians, you might say, the Stoics. These who believe in the knowledges of these things here below. Church, I tell you that our gospel is not something from below, because it came not by men, but by the will of God. And this Holy Spirit started long before, as Titus said, the first chapter. He says, this is in the mind of God before the creation of the world. That he should bring us all into this fellowship, back into the unity of the Spirit, this one man in Christ Jesus. How blessed are we? They have the peace, the comfort, and the consolation of trusting in a God who is living, alive, and well. A Christ who hears our prayers and our intercessions. And makes intercession on our behalf to God the Father. How blessed are we? And you know, it's interesting when men will turn their hearts to the newspapers and to the these philosophers and these, and once a time I was into transcendental magic, theory of celestial influence. Sometimes our athletes and all, when they don't understand their bodies, they buffet them to a point in which they feel they're more than they are, because it's not according to knowledge, but they're seeking knowledge. And those endorphins are flowing, and all of a sudden they're looking for more knowledge and wisdom. The first thing they do is run to men. And these ideologies and ideologies try to take a bit of Christ. Yet, and then when they go as far as they can in it, then they say, well, you know, Christ, that's not the gospel. The gospel is of our death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What he did to save us from our sins. This gospel plan started long before, as I said in Titus, he says, before the world. We read that according to Genesis 3 and 15, that he came by the seed of woman. And so from Adam to Abraham, according to the 12th chapter, he says that this Christ would save his people from their sins. From Abraham down to the Gospel of John, we understand that this is this Christ that we were looking for to come to save us from our sins. This good news of a Savior to redeem us from our fallen state. We understand that Christ in his ministry and his gospel throughout the region preached, the kingdom is at hand. Now the fulfillment is at I think of John, the first chapter, 1 John 1. The things that we handled, the things in which we've touched, we've seen with our own eyes. These things we bring unto you. Eyewitnesses of the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Acts, the first chapter, as he says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. In which he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The establishing of the kingdom according to Acts, the second chapter. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Peter preaching, daily adding to the church, such as should be saved. The good news, the glorious news of the kingdom being ushered in. And here we are. This is the same gospel in the first century to this century we live in, has been preached, has not changed one bit. And it's still accomplishing what it will do. If you want to be saved, if you want to live above, if you want to live, put it like this, if you do not want to live beneath your privilege as God's creation, here is the good news. That we have a Savior, that you don't have to walk in the weak and the beggarly elements of this world. Drugs do not have to seize our minds. The bad news on your TVs and all these insidious practices of men and these new programming does not have to infiltrate your mind. You do not have to turn to it and sit for hours and hours being pulverized by something that is not of God. You need good news in your life. You need to understand that Christ is Lord and Savior. And you need to know that according to the scriptures, that you be not led astray. These weak, beggarly elements of this world, all too soon they fade and pass. The scripture says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Isn't that a wonderful thing? While we can work for the Lord earnestly, there's nothing more beautiful. I have a testimony. And I'll give you a testimony from me this morning about this gospel of Christ. I received it about the same time my older brother had received it, which is about a year older than me, when we were teenagers. I strayed. I strayed. My brother didn't stray. The blessings in which God has mounted upon his life, present life, his children after him, his grandchildren, were blessings in which are insurmountable in the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful than to see generations of Christians being blessed by this good news. There's nothing more devastating and more beautiful to uphold in this world than to see someone who has not fallen to the bad news or to some false prophecy of something that cannot sustain you, walking beneath your privilege as God's creation. But we are so blessed just to sit here in the unity of the Spirit, this bond of peace we have together that keeps us as that thread of this gospel goes forth, this good news that God has put in you. I think of this Paul in his ministry as he went out and preached this good news. Once again, back to 1 Corinthians, that second chapter, he says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? You only know what how God created you, put in you, because God created you as to who you are. When you look in the mirror, that's all you know. If you don't know, if you never open a book in your life, you have to look in the mirror and say, I don't feel good, or I feel good, according to the Spirit. You know, but he says, but God has put his spirit in earthen vessels, that the glory may be of God and not of us. God has spoken, his spirit has been poured out. You need the good news in your life. You need to be able to share the good news. Not just hold it, but share it with someone. Bless your families. Bless your neighbors. Bless your acquaintances. Bless your own personal life first. The scripture tells us in the book of Revelations that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. It says, for henceforth their works do follow them. Let your works be counted as good news in this life. That as you go forth, no one has to lie over your activities on this earth. They can say, blessed, here lies a blessed person of God. Because of the testimony of your life. Don't let your life be a lie. Let your life rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, this is good news. Rejoice. Salvation is yours. I hadn't planned to be long. But I do know that God has put in each of one of us. We have heard the good news. And to be, if you're a child of God, if you know the church of Christ, in which God purchased with his own blood, that's good news. If you obey this form of doctrine, if you have heard that Christ died for your sins, rose up, has all power and authority, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, unless you believe that I'm he, you shall all likewise perish. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that's good news. You now have the chance to repent. Turn around from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world. Turn around from the bad news. And look at things through a spiritual eye. Repent from living a downward trotted life. A life that is wayward to the gospel of Christ. And turn to God. Turn to the good news, to read the good news, to study the good news. It's a blessing to be able to confess Christ as Lord and Savior. The scripture says that the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One of the sweetest words you'll ever confess in your mouth, and it comes out of your mouth, is Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have any of us made that confession? Raise your hand. All right, that's my prayer, is that you are able to make that good news confession. That's good news in itself. Hear, believe, repent, confess in Christ as Lord and Savior while there's still breath in your body? The scripture tells us in Peter, here in 2, baptism does now save us. It says not the putting away the filth of the flesh. Take a bath every day. But we're talking about being baptized, baptismo in Greek, which is to totally submerge. Here in 2, baptism does now save us. Not the putting off the filth of your flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. God is watching. Do you want a good conscience? Are you tired of a bad conscience? Are you tired of doing things that are not upright, things that bring reproach, things that bring shame, things that does not bless your neighbor, do not bless your family, does not bless your offspring? Tired of accusing the accuser, because the accuser, the accuser is the devil, you know. And that's all he had to say. Oh, God, you know, sometimes we got a thing of accusing God. Unfortunately, when we're ignorant, that's ignorance, because Paul was ignorant. And he did some accusing too. He accused the Christian. But James says, he says about accusing, he says, let no man when he's tempted say he's tempted of God. He says, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempt he any man. Man is tempted when he is enticed and drawn away upon his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, which is a transgression of God's law. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It's time to come alive with the good news of Christ. It's time to turn around from the weak and the beggarly elements and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. It's time for you to come to be joyous, to be made happy, to understand that you're a child of God and the blood of the Lamb is ready to cover you and that he's ready to forgive you of all your sins. I think I said enough at this time. They say when you said all you can say, just sit down, right? So, I pray that this message touched your hearts and your ears and you understand who you are. You've got good news to read about. Stay in the Word of God. Of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, we pretty much know that. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable to you for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instructions that the man of God, generic woman of God, man of God, they be perfect unto all good works. But he does, in 2:15, it says, 1 Timothy 2:15 says, tells you to study. If you want some news, open up God's Word. Get you a good, invest in your salvation. Go to Moody or somebody who, a good Bible bookstore. Ask your elders. Ask your minister, Brother Carter. Ask Elder Jackson. What literature do I need to read in order to get a better understanding, to feel better, to get some good news? Maybe he'll recommend to you to invest in your salvation by buying a good analytical study Bible. Not just a reading Bible. There are reading Bibles, study pocket Bibles, convenient Bibles. Depends on where you are. You can even download the Bible over your computer. But get you something analytical so when you sit down to study to get an understanding, you can do some cross-referencing here a little, there a little, and get an understanding and get some good news so that you can feel better. I said enough. The invitation is extended to all of you. If you are in sin or you need the congregation to pray for you, God wants us to pray for you. He wants us to confess your faults one to another so we can pray for you. You may be healed. If you stand a guilty distance from Christ and you're outside of the body of Christ, the church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18 says he's head of the body, the church, the first begotten from the dead, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so you need to be in the body of Christ, not outside of the body of Christ. The scripture tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, according to Ephesians 4:4. You need the one that you can be saved in, the good news, that has the good news for you. You need also to understand that this church is built upon the foundation, according to Ephesians 1:22-23, of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so you're in the right place. If you're not saved, you need to be saved by coming down, confessing Christ as Lord and Savior, going down in the watery grave of baptism in order to rise and walk in the newness of life. At this time, the brother will come before us, Brother Thompson, with the song. The invitation is extended. Come whosoever will.
584. Song.